You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
And of course, today is Entrepreneurship Wednesday, and that means we get into a very, very important segment of this show, which is to talk to entrepreneurs. And today is no different because we're talking to Jabu Mthiya, or Jabulile Mthiya, about her business. And we'll be going through some of the lessons that she has learned along the way. Perhaps there's been ups and downs that she might want to share with aspiring entrepreneurs, but we celebrate entrepreneurs like herself, and that's why we brought her to talk to her this evening. Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening, Tapelo.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am okay. What's wrong? Can you hear me? Okay, I think. Can you hear me now? Hi, Jabulile.
Yes.
Now I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Ah, fantastic, fantastic. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm okay. Thank you for asking. And your day?
My day was okay. It was just long because I was busy with scripts and, you know, the works. But,
Okay. Are you done?
I'm not done, but yeah, I have to finish today because I have to submit tomorrow in New York. So yeah.
Oh, goodness me. I promise you, we're not going to keep you more than we should. We wish you the best with that as well. But thank you so much for joining us this evening. We really, really appreciate your time. We're going to be talking about your business today. And I thought to myself, quite a really interesting and catchy name. How did you come up with that name?
Okay, so Boutique Addict Beauty actually came from Boutique Addict Beauty, Tapelo. Boutique Beauty actually came from, okay, so I started my business with selling clothes.
Yeah.
So initially it was just a boutique until I got into makeup and nails and lamps. That's when I added the beauty.
Yeah.
So it has to do with clothing, beauty and nails, lashes. Basically an overall beauty company.
Ah, fantastic. And the addict part is just being addicted to clothes and beauty, right? That's what it is.
Yeah.
Which made me wonder, you know, just as an off question is to say, are there people who are really addicted that need some bit of therapy, or is just clothing a therapy in itself?
I think there are. Like, to be honest, we have this thing now called maintenance week.
Okay.
And what maintenance week means that you have to go get your lashes, nails, hair done.
Yeah.
So you're ready for the week.
Yeah.
Right? If you go to work, you don't have to look for a hairstyle that you need to do. Already everything is set for the week. So I could say that there is some sort of addiction to it, but it's good addiction.
It's good addiction. All right. So that's why it's therapy. Apparently, you ladies have a shopping therapy and clothing therapy and all those sort of stuff, which is fine, I suppose, right? Because it's a nice one. All right. Tell us a little bit about yourself. I know it's a weird question, but for people who may not know you, this is Jabulile Loban.
Okay. So Jabulile is a professional makeup artist and a fashion stylist in film and television in South Africa, hoping to venture into international stuff and be called an international makeup artist.
And it's coming. It's coming.
You know, it has to come.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Jabulile is basically a beauty mogul.
I love that.
You see beauty, you see a fashionista, you see a very elegant person. I'm a very elegant person.
Ooh.
I don't know if so, yeah.
I love that.
That is me. And I'm an entrepreneur.
Look at that, eh? I love that, right? And I think I love the fact that you owning it. When you say you're a mogul, you're not even mincing your words, which is the lovely part.
No ways.
Sure. I want to get, when I grow up, I want to be like you. Like, I really want to own it as well. But thank you so much. Where were you born?
In Soweto, in Mfulo.
Mfulo, okay.
Yes, that's where I was born.
Yeah.
Mfulo Clinic. And then we stayed there for a while, and then we came to Midrand in 96.
And ever since then. So what brought you into this industry? Were you always a child that was experimenting with beauty things, seeing people put on makeup and nice clothing, like, I want to do that as well? Or how did this come about?
I'll be honest with you, I was literally an anti-makeup person, Lee.
Really?
Yeah, I was more on the side of clothing.
Okay.
So I'll tell you how it actually started. So
Yeah.
in matric, we had this thing of choosing, what you're going to do after high
Yes,
school.
yes,
So
yes.
it had three options. So the first one was obviously going to school and furthering your studies. Second one was starting a business, but the starting a business had to come with a business plan, right? And
Yes.
then the last one was a gap year.
Yeah.
So I decided, you know what? Let me do this business thing because I used to design clothing, like I used to and the works like the dresses and stuff. So I did a business plan, and then I was called. My teacher called me. When he called me, I thought I messed up. Like I literally legit thought that business plan was bad, you know? So when I got there, he's like, yo, this business plan is brilliant. Who was
Oh,
helping, right?
wow.
No, I was just doing my research. In any case, I was actually doing my research because
Yes.
I think my mom would be able to pay for my fees,
Yeah.
you know? So he was like, you need to do this thing. Like you need to focus on this business plan.
Yeah.
It's really, really good.
Sure.
And I guess that actually gave me motivation. Obviously, when you go out of school and you start to look for a job, you know, forget about everything. You forget about what you wanted to do. I went in sales in Bidvest at Bidvest Paper Plus.
Okay.
I was a sales clerk then,
Yeah.
and I took myself to school. I did business management,
Sure,
right?
that's nice.
And yeah, and then I remember this lady came, used to say to me, Jabu, you don't belong here, you know? And up about it, and she would tell me I belong in the entertainment industry. I'm supposed to be dressing celebrities. Look how you look at your outfits, you know?
Yeah.
And thing kept on haunting me, you know, that you need to do this, you need to do this. Then I started selling clothes. And at Bidvest, I met a friend who loved makeup. She
Sure.
literally bought me makeup.
Yeah.
I remember there was a day when we got paid, she was like, let's go to MAC and go and buy makeup. So we bought makeup and I started, you know, getting to know this whole thing of makeup. I liked it and I went on YouTube. I mean, 2014, YouTube wasn't that big, you
Yeah,
know.
yeah.
I went on YouTube and I started learning this is what you need to do. It was literally the varsity of makeup. I did legal secretary. I moved to
Sure.
another company. Still, I was not feeling
Yeah,
it.
with something money off.
Governance, right?
Yeah.
But it was, you know, I'm trapped. And then I left it. And then I continued with the makeup thing, started getting the kids. And then I was called in one of the shows to go and do makeup. And then
Yeah.
I developed the love for it. And
Yeah.
then I decided, let me go to school of makeup. And
Yeah.
then, yeah.
You. So, couldn't it be off when you incorporate as you are working?
Yeah, you know, I was good at it, you
Yeah.
know, but I just felt like, yo, the 9 to 5 was
Yeah.
really bad. I remember I would wake up at 8 and I'm supposed to be at work at 8 and I would come or I'd get there at like 9. 4 o'clock, I'm done.
Hey, but now you just got here, Moss.
Exactly. Yeah, joking off. So I was just like, there's really something wrong. And this is another thing, you know, when you believe in God, you have certain relationship with God, and there's just something that I want you to be here. I need you to do this, you know. And you know that voice that just comes, you know that you have to do this. So I think that was one of the most important voices in my life at that point.
Fantastic. And look at where you are today, right? In the benefit of hindsight, you know. And I suppose, like they say, most of us die with could have, should have, would have, and all those sort of stuff because we've got the fear of branching out. How did you deal with that? Did you have any fears or was it simply just, I know this is where God is calling me to? I've always felt that need to go that direction. That leap of faith.
Okay. So, do you know, I remember 2017, I handed in my resignation letter, you know. And do you know the sad part was what? I didn't have a problem leaving the job, but I was a salary. You know, when you know every month you have a salary.
Yeah.
And, you know, your needs are sorted and stuff. But when I left there, I had nothing, literally.
Yeah.
I didn't know where money was going to come from. Like, sure. I literally just thought 2017 to 2018 was literally my worst years because I didn't have anything. I lost so many people from my life. It was just bad.
Mm.
But I kept on pushing and pushing until today.
And never looked back.
Fear. Yeah, I never looked back. Yeah. There's definitely fear. I think one of the most important things is to believe in your
Christ. Yeah.
Believing in yourself.
Yeah. That's fantastic. And so this year makes how many years since you went into this business?
From 2017 till now.
From 2017.
Would be,
a couple of years. Yeah, somewhere there.
Yeah, 6 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think you did better maths than me because I'm like, yo. Can't even count how many years that is.
You are the finance person. There's no way.
I mean, I was like calculating. I'm like, yo, how many years is that? So, how did you deal with COVID?
Yo, COVID. I remember, you know, there's this funny story that I have in your COVID. We were a show called Gospel Unplugged.
Yes.
And in Gospel Unplugged, there was this white guy. This guy is from Australia.
Yeah.
And, you know, every time we have lunch, we're sitting together and he was telling me about this COVID thing.
Yeah.
And I didn't know anything about it. And he's like, tomorrow I'm leaving, you know? So I had to give him some dabs for panel. And he's like, can you please bring this, speed that process up? Because I need to leave tomorrow.
Yeah.
I need stuff. There's going to be lockdown.
Ooh.
I didn't know what lockdown is. I didn't understand what they were
saying. Yeah.
And then one of the presenters started coughing and she was terribly sick.
Oh my. You know,
that March, remember they closed the lockdown?
Yes.
In March, that March. And that was the last salary we had. Literally, the day we got paid, it was 25th. And we had to go to the shops because it was the last day to get everything. And then it was silent the whole time.
Yeah.
Business was really bad. No one is getting married. No one is, you know.
Yeah.
I caught basically nothing. So it was a bit tough. But the nice part about it was that I was at home anyway.
Yes.
I didn't have to go out. And it wasn't bad at all because I still stay at home, which is a plus.
Yeah.
If you're a young entrepreneur, I feel like you shouldn't feel the pressure of leaving your home. As long as you know that your business is not stable.
Yeah.
You know? So COVID was not bad for me because I was staying at home and being fed at home. So
which is important. It is really important. And I don't think that's pretty unique to you, right? Because I think a lot of, you know, big business or businesses that started small, there's quite a lot of bootstrapping that one has to do. You know, there's quite a lot of, instead of bombarding yourself or even putting yourself under pressure, as you rightly put it, with trying to get this fancy place, offices and all that, and then lockdown happens. And all of a sudden, those plans, all of it, are brought to a screeching halt. And sometimes it's very difficult to even come out of those leases, you know, because of such things. So there's really absolutely nothing. I think a lot of the businesses, at least the ones that I've been exposed to, you bootstrap this thing until it finds its feet. And when it finds its feet, I suppose that's the way for you to go out there and become big and all those sort of stuff. So that's really interesting to hear that. And I suppose the expenses that, I mean, running a business has got its own expenses, of course, and you would know that better than me. But you know, if you can avoid certain things by maybe working from home, because then you're not going to pay for rent and all those sort of stuff, I think are really important things. What do you think makes boutique addict beauty different from any other out there?
Do you know what, Ne? I was actually thinking about this today.
Yeah.
Because I'm seeing a lot of, you know, upcoming makeup artists.
Yeah.
And stuff, you know, but yeah. I was like, you know what? There's so many people. There's so many doctors.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And every doctor specializes in something.
Yes.
I could be an artist right now,
yeah.
But I'm not just a makeup artist. I'm into the film and the television, you know, which different skill altogether,
yeah.
You know. There are makeup artists that can't do, you know, your makeup effects. Makeup effects is okay. Those, you know, bad makeup, you know, bullets on the forehead, a burning mark,
yeah.
You know, all those they need in the movies, you know. So I think one of the most things is to always upskill yourself.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
Do not just be stagnant. Always upgrade yourself.
Yeah.
There's always going to be new things and you need to be on top of your game,
yeah.
Unfortunately. Because
yeah.
There's always going to be someone doing the same thing as you.
Yeah.
But thing that will make you differ from that is by upskilling, you know?
Upskilling yourself, yeah. Yeah. And you touched on the nuanza ganjan. How do you guys do those scars and whatever that we see on these movies? Is there like a science to it?
Well, yeah. there's a makeup kit for it. Like there's products specifically for that.
Ah.
But you can also, if you're good, this is where the skill comes in.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
So if you don't have the kit, there are some things that you can use from your own kitchen cupboard to come with that, you
okay.
know, and make it look real.
Ooh, okay, that's interesting. Please don't mention them because our listeners will now start testing this thing at home. No,
yay.
Don't do yay. It at home, right? Some of those things. Don't do them at home. Rather get a professional to actually do that for you. Now,
it, yeah.
2017. Then, do you remember who was your first client and how was that engagement?
My first client, there was a girl that we were literally in the same business at the time of selling. So she was like, yo, I like how you do your own makeup. Can you do my makeup? I was like, sure. And she came here in my and my mom was like, yo, you're no ways. I'm not going to allow this. You know, you know how it's are.
Yeah.
But like, she was my first client, Utwana.
Mm.
We did her makeup and she loved it. And you know, one thing that I had, like something good that I had was in match, you know, like she's very dark, very, very dark.
Mm.
And she said to me, oh my gosh, do you know how many times I've tried putting on foundation and it just looks bad, but she literally mirrored the skin match, you know?
Sure.
And which is something that I'm actually good at, like when it comes to makeup, skin match is definitely one of the most things that I excel in. So that was my first, and then I got a first gig for a TV show and I went, and I from there I was just being called, hey, are you available? I didn't even know how much to charge at the time because I don't know the industry standards, and I just got calls. And when you go to these places, you start meeting more people and more people like you, and you know, it's just how can I put it, you know, a train of people telling the next person that there's Jabu, your face, you know. So
And that's how you grew your customer base, I suppose. There are those comebacks, those referrals that obviously mean something for your business, right?
Yeah, definitely. Even now, I I get a lot of clients from referrals.
Yes.
More than social media.
Yeah. More than social media. Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah.
You mentioned something that was interesting. You said in 2020, people are not getting married. So I suppose the need for makeup artists was a little bit less then. Silly thought. Yeah. Is there makeup for breakups?
No, but you know what? I was watching that.
Okay.
I was watching the one of the reality shows there,
yeah.
And they had like a divorce party,
yeah.
And the lady all out. She wore her wedding dress only, and then she had a full beat on. And I was just like, yo, this is a shock, but it could be good for us
if
South Africa onto it, you know?
Yeah.
It would be good business.
Oh.
Calling me for me. I'm coming there for your face.
Yeah.
I don't care what the event is, to be honest.
Because I do think there's a need for it, right? Breakup makeup. Like, if I want to break up, I just come to you, you do my tears, you know, and I put them there and I pretend like I'm crying. I'm like,
phony.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, niche you on the side.
Exactly. Silly thought. Let me come back to work. All right. Then the other one that I wanted to ask is around the fact that it's a creative industry. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like it's a creative industry. I mean, for you to be able to do those horror movie makeup or crying or serious makeup, and there's a little bit of creativity. How do you come up with playing around such creative things so that you can tell what's on the market, what's trending, what type of things in the film particularly are they looking for?
Okay, so in the film industry, they basically give you a script, so you can't just come up with things,
yeah,
right?
Exactly, exactly.
So the script basically directs your makeup.
Mm.
So what you need to do is that when you get a script, you have to do something called a mood board.
Okay.
So the mood board hangs on with makeup and also with wardrobe.
Yeah.
So on your makeup, you will have to put pictures of what actually they're describing. Script, right?
Okay.
So that when you have a meeting and you're presenting the whole thing, you tell them that, okay, this is how the makeup is going to look for the bullet scene or for the burning scene where there's like fire and all of those things.
Yeah.
Or for the star, or you know, for GPV, you know, all those things.
Yeah. So
you basically go by the script always.
Okay. So putting up pictures, is your room full of pictures and all these things that you put around?
No.
Oh, okay. That's sure. That's much better. Yeah.
You have it on a document.
Yeah.
On your laptop, because you have to present it.
I thought maybe you're like putting these things in the script, and then you put a picture.
Tell you, I once posted a picture on Facebook of me while I was training doing this makeup in school.
Yeah.
And people just thought I am being abused.
Oh,
like, it was so real. It looked so real.
Batu.
People were like, what happened? What happened? Dude, can we help?
Yeah.
It actually brought some sort of comfort because like, there's still people who care, you know.
Did you not ask for those EW alerts? You should have though.
Tapelo, whether you're a finance person or you.
Now I was gonna allow that. I was like, no, please EW alert. I need help. You're gonna make money.
You know what? Your career is your career. You belong there. Because wow, why would you think of e-wallets?
No, I think people are offering to help. Are they not offering to help? So I need money, guys. That's why I please send money. I need help. Like,
send
why not?
Man.
Yeah, so I'm gonna come to you for makeup for that. Let me try it out on my social media. And let me see how many people and how much I can raise, you know.
You can raise a lot. You just put your account there. People will be like,
exactly, you know.
And Diana, you know.
And get me now, I like soft life things. So from 3,000 Gya Pezulu, that's the minimum. Yeah.
No ways. No, robbing people dead. Yeah, you Yeah.
Talking about that now, when you started, did it require finances? And if it did, how did you navigate raising capital?
Honestly, the only thing that needed capital was the clothing business,
Yo,
right?
I
Because
see.
stock. But with makeup, I had already started buying makeup, right?
Yeah.
So I had all the foundations, all the stuff, like basic stuff that was needed, right? And also, this is just one of the things that I wanted to highlight, that if like you're starting out as a makeup artist, there's
Yeah.
no need for you to go all out and break your bank just to get products. You need to firstly understand why do you buy that product, what do you need it for? Because I think that's one of the mistakes that I did when I started. Obviously, I had no clue what was happening. I needed to have anything. So if someone introduces something on YouTube, I'll be like, okay, tomorrow I'm at the shops buying the same thing. And some of the things I had to give them away, you know, because I them. And that's a loss on its own, especially starting out. So I think one of the most important thing is to know the reason why you buying those things. And there's absolutely no need for you to buy something that you don't even understand,
Yeah,
you know.
definitely. So it's gonna end up being unused because you don't know how to use it, or
Yeah.
you find that it doesn't fit what you are trying to do at the end of the day. So there's a need to understand exactly those things. Since 2017, I'm sure when you started the business, your business plan projected a couple of millions in X number of years. Because I know with business plans, there's always that financial projection section, cash flow, financial assets, balance sheet, all those sort of stuff that you need to put in. When you look at that and you look at reality, is there a difference? In other words, when you project it versus what is happening on the ground as you're running this business?
To be honest, you know, ish, I don't know how to actually respond to this because I'm trying to, you know, understand the whole thing. Because you remember when we met, actually, the first time I even asked you, like, can I like an accountant or something? Because, you know, sometimes when you don't have a financial background, you don't really understand how to actually, you know, with the taxes and everything. You get people saying, register your business, you won't pay for tax, you know, for this for 2 years or 3 years or whatever, or whenever, you know. So to be honest, I wouldn't really know at the moment because I'm trying to still figure out as to how I can handle my finances, you know. And we're just coming to a point where I was saying that when you're an entrepreneur, it's actually quite sad if you don't know how to use money, because there are times or there's months where you don't get money anyway or business anyway. So the amount or the salary that you had from whatever film you were shooting should sustain you for the rest of the months, you know, until you pick up again. So that's also something that I've actually realized the past few years that I've seen. You know what? You sh actually should be smart about money. So that's something I'm actually working on to actually know what how much I'm actually making, you know. So yeah.
Then I won't offer my services because I think you are already on that road. So, you know, so we'll leave.
I've been saying I don't know why you're running away from my business, Kevin. Like, I don't get it. Honestly, I that's all.
Moving right along from that. You're gonna embarrass me right on air. You'll see later as an assistant.
Right, okay, no problem.
Okay, let's talk about you as we go towards the end, right? What would you
Okay.
say is driving you as an entrepreneur? In other words, what is making you not to go back to corporate?
Like, what's motivating me?
Yeah, what's driving you? What's motivating you to continue on this entrepreneurial journey?
Honestly, it's just making a name for myself,
Love
you
it.
know. I honestly want young kids, especially abantwana from elokishini, you know, to see that it's actually possible to start something from the ground on your, without any assistance, and you can actually do it. You can actually make it.
Yeah.
And do you know, there was a time where, I don't know if I can mention people's names, right?
There was a time.
I was home and Ubusiswa, the DJ, called me.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm looking for your services. I saw your website. You can people. Hey, I almost fainted, guys.
I'm sure.
Like, I was like, okay, I've worked with a couple of, you know, well-known people, but maybe it's because I actually really liked Busiso and I never thought in my wildest dreams this person could actually call me.
Yeah.
I didn't even go to her, do you understand?
Yeah.
She called me and she was like, can we have a meeting? Can I take you to one of my shows?
Sure.
And then we can then have a meeting then. And I was like, oh my gosh, look at where this thing has gotten me. You know? Honestly, my motivation will always go back to why I started. Like, always have a drawing board where you like have your own plan. What's it called? A year planner.
Yeah.
Where you write all your goals and stuff. It will always go back to that. It will remind you of where you actually started.
Mm.
And will forever continue because of what you are always seeing in the morning. Wake up, you're like, oh, I'm doing this because I want to create a name for myself.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Therefore, I'm going to wake up in the morning and I'm going to do this.
You know? Okay, talking about waking up in the morning, what's your typical day like? And how has, I suppose, being an entrepreneur affected that day, how you run your day, and also interactions with family?
Let me just start with a normal day when you go to set, right?
Yeah.
So normally set times is 5 a.m.
Yes.
A lot of people always see my statuses because I'm always up at like 3 a.m.
Yep.
Driving in the early hours of the morning. And people are like, Aibo,
you're already on the
road. And I come back 12, 1 a.m., you know?
Sure.
So the hours are really crazy. And super, super crazy. But the nice part is you're doing what you love. What you're passionate about. So my typical day on set would be 5 a.m. depending on whatever's happening until 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Right? On Monday, I was shooting something. We started midday, which was 12.
Yeah.
And we ended at 1 a.m., right?
Yeah.
It's normally a 12-hour shift, but if it goes overboard, there's like overtime and you're being compensated for it. And then on a day-to-day, like when I have like clients, like outside clients, I normally just wake up according to whatever time they've called me.
Yeah.
It could be 6 a.m., it could be 3 a.m., depending on what events they have, right?
Mm.
And also it depends on, because I do house calls, right?
Yeah.
So I move from Pretoria or to Fourways, go to, you know, it's a whole lot of driving. And which brings me to this point that when I realized that, you know what, I'm actually losing a lot with the whole traveling, and I added cost to it, but still, I feel like, you know, sometimes in Tuilama toll gate, I was like, you know what, I'm going to find a place in Fourways for my business.
Yeah.
I found a place in Fourways. It was so beautiful, you know, I lash side, nail side, makeup. You know, my dream was just coming true, you know. But the girl did not actually go through the finances. And you know, that year was like I was bowling, you know, because the industry was so busy to a point where we had gigs after gigs.
Yeah.
So in my mind, I'm like, oh, I have money, so I can be able to sustain this, you know. But came to a point where it was 3 months.
Yeah.
And obviously, I'm still new in Fourways, and I'm getting clients, but they're coming in bits and pieces, you know.
Yeah.
Some clients still prefer house calls.
Yes.
And to move from the business place to their homes. So it was a lot in between. And then I'm like, yo, you know what? I mean, you know what I like about myself is that I don't really care about what people say, you know, when it comes to something that's affecting me. If I'm affected financially and I see that I'm strained, I will keep it. If I have to take back the car, I will take it back.
Yes. I mean,
I mean, it's me. I'm living with So I don't have to, you know, feel like, oh, but she had a business.
Yeah, no,
she
you
had
don't.
Faith in 4 years, you know. So I had to like leave that and come back to my senses and be like, you know what? Your time where you actually are able to sustain the rent and everything, you know. Stopped. I just told the landlord, I was like, dude, I'm gonna leave. Also we were shooting something in Cape Town.
Yeah.
So like, anyway, I have to leave for a month, so I'm not gonna be here.
Yeah.
You know, that was right my excuse, but I'm gonna come back again. So you can take the place and give it to someone else. Okay with that?
Yeah.
You know, it was sad because obviously you're trying to push. You know, it was sad, but I had to make a financial decision.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. No, we have to. We have to. And it's your own race. It's your own pace. There's absolutely no need to try and keep up with the Jones or the Kardashians next door.
Exactly.
It really doesn't serve any purpose for that matter. So big ups to you for being matured enough to really, you know, come to that decision. There are people who are literally dying, some of mental health, you know, because you just don't want to come to the realization, the fact that you just need to sometimes let go of certain things. And, and there's absolutely nothing wrong there. And I think,
there's
like I said,
you'll be at peace.
You'll
be
at peace. You'll certainly be at peace.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well done on you on that one. Okay, we're closing now. I wanna ask you this question then. If you had to start all over, what would you do differently? I know finances is one of those things, but what would you do differently if you had to start all over again?
Number one, definitely finances.
I know, right?
Getting an accountant for my business. Like, you know the clients.
Yeah.
Because they understand better. Like, if you know that, okay, you're still a small business.
Yeah.
I would, you know, go for a student accountant to
extend
my, you know, business. Because, you know, when I research about, you know, small businesses, even just outside of the beauty industry.
Yeah.
I realized that they actually made it through accountants.
Yeah.
Because accountants are able to say, Jabu, when you 100K, you need to get a salary from it. So you don't have to charge the whole, 100K, you know. So I feel like you definitely need someone who has a financial background, who understands how money is supposed to flow in business, you know.
Yeah.
Was one of my biggest mistake, and I'm literally working on it, like currently, like I'm trying.
Big ups to you. Yeah. That's really lovely. And then what would you say is your one satisfying moment so far in business? Let's talk about the nice thing, the one thing that you think, phew, thank you, this is really satisfying, or has been.
I think, you know, leaving corporates was one of my biggest moments.
Yeah.
For me, landing, you know, big shows in the country was like the best moment of my life.
Yeah.
You know what? I've never really thought I could be a head of departments. Do you understand?
Look at that.
So that was like one of the most, you know, biggest moments, just besides of working with, you know, the most, you know, known artist in the
world. Yes.
And, you know, and also another one was working with an artist from Spain.
Ooh, okay.
Styled the music video, and I did the makeup for the music video. It was so beautiful. It was actually the best moments of my life. And he posted and tagged all of us who were working on the video, and I was it's just, you know, something just needs to be official.
Definitely.
Know? A lot of people always tell me, why don't you call yourself on Instagram? You're a celebrity makeup artist.
You are.
But I don't want to do that, you know, because I still want to do, you know, people's makeup. Like, classified as just a celebrity makeup artist. I'm just an overall makeup artist, and whether you're a celebrity or not, you will still get the same service. So
please give me those social media handles to me, please, so that I can manage them for because clearly awufuni. Mina ngizoyibhala mina. I'm going to write it that she's a celebrity makeup artist. How? Why not?
No, I don't know, but like, you know, I'm thinking of this in a business, you know, sense. In business, you when you classify yourself as a celebrity makeup artist, most normal humans would actually think that, oh, I can't, you know, book this person because she's just a celebrity makeup artist, you know. And I don't want it to be like that. I still want to go lapaya ema esoweto emshadweni ngiyenze makeup. I still want that, you know.
Okay, you just said business sense. You and I will talk after this, so that we can we can make some sense to what you're saying.
Yeah.
I know you said makeup mogul in the next couple of years, but where is the business going?
Okay, so I am currently studying aesthetician. Yeah?
Okay.
So,
what's aesthetician?
Aesthetician. So, yes, can you remove them? Because I'm 60 years old now.
Oh,
and I'm gonna look fresh.
Yes,
that's what I'm gonna be doing. And I will have my basically my end goal in life is having a clinic, aesthetic clinic where people and do you know, I'm very passionate about skin, you know. And I realized with, you know, Emma Lokshini, you know, abantwana abana ma eczema, or sometimes it's bigger than that.
Yeah.
And parents don't even know what to say. You know, they would go to a normal clinic, but what's this aqueous cream?
Yeah.
You know,
it's but
I want, to educate people about skin and, you know, because skin is something that can actually make you feel like confidence, you know, you know, a certain way. So
yeah, definitely.
I'm really going into that route because when I get to 50, I won't be able to stand long hours.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
On set, you know. So once I have my own clinic, I know that I can be able to hire, you know, young people to continue with the work.
Yeah.
And, you know, and obviously I have makeup school. Right now, my first plan obviously is to have a makeup school.
Yeah.
Where I teach young kids to enhance their own skills, you know, even if they're doctors, they can also do business on the side because the economy is not looking great.
It's not.
So you definitely need to have something on the side.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not looking good. Okay, it's just I'm gonna try and practice as just until I get it right. So between now and then, please give me a few days to learn how to pronounce it.
Next time I'm interviewer, it will definitely.
Bona, that's why I'm gonna need to practice this thing over and over again before I stumble over it. So and then I end up pronouncing things that my bosses will say. You know, it's a Christian radio station, so you can't insult people because exactly. You know, we are stuga manje right on air. So I need to practice this dish and things and all that.
Yeah,
but anyways, ma'am, how do people get a hold of you if they need your services and maybe following you as well?
Okay, so you just, my name and surname, Jabulile Mthiya on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I have my number there. Mm-hmm. And I have my link to my website where you can actually book there and then I'll get off your notification.
Yeah.
But on all social media platforms, it's Jabulile Mthiya. And then my business page is Boutique Addict underscore beauty underscore.
Ah, so fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Gala, Kulmeli with my colleagues here because they're on social media. They don't have underscores like Abu Zama. And I keep telling them, you can't be on social media and not have an underscore. Like, it doesn't really make sense.
Like, what do you mean? Because underscore gives that, you know, effect.
Born.
The moment you start saying underscore, they're like, yes. Girl.
Boy. You know what? Maybe you must do a master class to them because they just don't get it. Like, you must have an underscore.
F-A-W-R underscore, you know.
Bona. Ah, Wena, you've got this thing. Thank you so much, ma'am. Really appreciate you. And we wish you nothing but the best in your business as well.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Tapelo.
Have a good one. Good night.
You too. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.